It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, some conservatives say they're boycotting Bud Light beer. We'll talk to a marketing professor about the ways our politics influence our purchasing decisions. First, Ellen Clark joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. You have access to vital news and information on Wisconsin Public Radio thanks to support from members, people like you. Take a few minutes right now on the last day of the drive and on World Press Freedom Day to help make this essential public service possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, Ellen.
Hey, and no boycotting us here.
I hope not.
During this pledge drive, right? This hour, we have a goal of 10 gifts, and we can get there with your help. These hourly goals are not just random numbers. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Central Time with Rob and his team and all the other programs on the Ideas Network. Give now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars, which do come from listeners like you, provide important funding for WPR programs. But voluntary listener contributions are actually the biggest piece of support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs.
So what that means is you make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution right now to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The last day of the drive, your last chance to get the new Wisconsin Public Radio glass tumbler. It's a cool-looking glass. It's got a Soundwave design, and it says Wisconsin Public Radio on it. Ask for your tumbler when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And think about this. If you've ever sat in your car to hear the end of something on Wisconsin Public Radio, I mean, you cannot get out of the car until this segment is over. You've experienced a driveway moment, and chances are you've had one recently.
Support your source for conversations so compelling you don't want to miss a word. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. If you're driving right now, though, be safe.
No.
Pull over.
No,
wait till you make it to the driveway to make that call.
That's right. And we know you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It's quick. It's easy to do. And your gift right now really does help. So take the next few minutes to support the station that you count on online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 10 people to join in this hour. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
Last day of the drive, ask for your WPR glass tumbler. When you make that gift of $12 a month or more in support of your favorite Wisconsin Public Radio programs, you'll have that glass. It won't just sit there, I predict, gathering dust in a cupboard somewhere.
No, you
will use this thing. Ask for yours at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you rely on the Ideas Network for news and information and interesting conversations. And the Ideas Network is important to you. So if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Maybe you could make today the day you increase your support of Wisconsin Public Radio by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Henry in Madison says, learning to understand our community, nation, and world through public radio contributes to a healthy and hopeful planet. Henry, fantastic. Thank you so much for the kind words and for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift. How about you? Think about what Wisconsin Public Radio means to you and then make your gift. It takes just a few minutes. You can go online and do it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And member drives are such an important time to hear from new members. We love sustainers, but we need to hear from new members too. If you've never given before, maybe make today the day you become a WPR member. We're listener supported, so your gift makes the Ideas Network possible. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your gift right now on this last day of the spring member drive. The clock is ticking on this one, and we'd love to hear from you with your first ever gift or rejoining, whatever the case may be. Make that gift right now. Go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. Last month, the beer company Anheuser-Busch did a marketing promotion with popular social media influencer Dylan Mulvaney, who is transgender. She posted a video on Instagram to promote a Bud Light contest for the March Madness college basketball tournament. The company sent her a personalized beer can with her face on it as part of the partnership. Then, prominent conservative commentators called for a boycott of Bud Light beer, putting the company in the crosshairs of the so-called culture wars. Anheuser-Busch has reported a decline in sales for Bud Light and some of its other products in the months since the backlash began. Two of the company's marketing executives have gone on leave. It's the latest example of consumers' political beliefs influencing what they purchase or choose not to buy. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How do your political and social views influence the products you buy or don't buy? Are there certain companies or products that you prefer or avoid for political reasons? Are there companies whose politics you know you kind of disagree with, but you still purchase from them anyway? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nushin Warren is an associate professor of marketing at the University of Arizona's Eller College of Management, where she researches political marketing and the financial impact of marketing strategies. Nushin, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much.
Now, Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch and lots of other companies have done LGBT-related marketing and promotions in the past. It seems like with less controversy. Why do you think this year, this particular outreach sparked a lot of backlash?
Well, one factor of it that you named, interestingly, people call it cultural war, where in fact, even it is not that much of a political divide, rather it is a generational divide. And as we move further, the fact is that a lot of firms will lose some of their older generation and then gain some younger generation. And this divide between the these two generations is so wide. If you look at Gen Zs, they already have started and saying that 60% of them will not buy from a brand that is not value conscious. So firms are dealing with this issue, and year by year, it's going to get increasingly more big and important for firms. But then the second issue that they're facing is how to respond to this pressure. So this pressure exists. You have to respond to it. And firms can be purely profit-seeking, purely ideologically do it, or somewhere in between.
No.
And yes.
A lot of times companies might run into trouble if they do something specifically political, you know, advocate for or against a bill or a candidate or donate to someone or something like that. This case seems a little different. Now, we've seen Bud Light declining in sales just because of marketed competition, having trouble bringing on younger beer drinkers in particular. This outreach seemed not so much like a political statement as we want to reach in and tap a market that doesn't drink our beer as much as they want to. Do you see that being a little different?
Exactly. And that is the whole point of this generation divide. The younger generation are actually going towards craft beer and local beer. They're not going for big companies, giant companies that have been there for a while and cater to older generations, more conservative generation, which is kind of goes hand in hand. So capturing that new consumer market is very important. It's vital for firms. But how to capture it is an issue that you can go purely political in. But in this case, it's just capturing the interest of this young generation and publicity of it. It has dangers, obviously, as we are seeing, but it is not... It actually reminds me a lot of Gillette case, because in that case also the culture of shaving and younger generation going towards this little subscription firms was making the sales decline. And that was when Gillette decided to try to attract to the new market. Bud Light to me seems a little bit more like that rather than pure political values.
Now, when companies make a statement, intentionally or otherwise, that results in a political backlash and calls for a political boycott, how much does it actually impact the bottom line? I'm guessing the answer may be it depends.
Definitely it depends. But generally speaking, and so far what our research has shown, is that boycott eventually will die down. And the reason it's loud and we hear it and it becomes kind of very important at the time is that usually boycott is, it can be interesting. It can be a lot of controversial debates in social media, but it can also be burning the product of a company, which happened to Nike at the time in 2016. It was Gillette razors in the toilet. It is right now, I've seen a lot of bumper stickers giving a finger to Bud Light. These are reactions that are loud and goes viral. But at the end of the day, you have consumers that have been loyal to some brands for a long time. And even if they get angry for a while, they still want to go back to their product because they liked it. Are all of them do that? Probably not. But a lot of them do. And the past, this past kind of incidents have shown that, yes, you're still having a declining market. And maybe that was why you got involved in. But you got some of your sales back from those boycotters.
We're talking to University of Arizona marketing professor Nooshin Warren about political consumerism, when our politics influence which products we purchase or avoid, and how companies try to navigate when to make a statement, a political or social statement, when not to. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you decided to buy from a certain company or brand because of a political or social statement, or to avoid one of those companies or brands for the same reason? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. If you tried calling in and had trouble with their phone lines, I think we have that sorted out now. 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking to Nooshin Warren. She's an associate professor of marketing at the University of Arizona's Eller College of Management, and we're looking at the ways that politics can shape our purchasing decisions. Some conservatives started boycotting Bud Light beer after Anheuser-Busch partnered with a social media influencer who is transgender. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you participating in this boycott? Puzzled by the boycott? Do you make decisions on buying stuff based on what you understand to be the political or social views of the company involved? Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Paul is with us in Spooner. Paul, hi.
Good afternoon. I can tell you right now, in a small town, I know people that are business people that are opposite political beliefs of mine, and I have no problem giving them my money because I'm happy that they're in my town. But if they want to put up their signs out in front of their business, or if they want to start wearing their hat that they still have, or keep their signs from previous year elections, they're sending me a political statement. They're trying to make a political statement with their business. So I, in return, should vote by holding my money back. So I definitely do vote with my dollar, and I expect that Bud Light knew exactly what they were doing, and their sales were going to recover. But we as consumers need to feel comfortable who we work with when we spend our money, so we should vote with our dollars.
Paul, thanks a lot for that call. Nooshin, what do you think?
I totally agree with that, in the sense that everyone has this right to pick from a competitive market the company that is closer to their values, or, as Paul pointed out, vote for a company with our money. The issue is, firms also look at it as a political campaign sometimes, that where the target market would be to bring more votes for them. So for them also, this is a business question. They will look into how much they might lose and how much they might gain. So I respect all people who try to vote on a company with their money, and probably companies do too. But it can become just a pure business decision, and sometimes it is.
Paul, thanks a lot for that call. Stan joins us now in Green Bay. Stan, hello.
Yeah, hi. First rule of marketing is don't tick off your core audience. Know who your key customer group is. And yes, you do want to expand, but you can't alienate your core customer in order to do that. And in the case of Bud Light, that's a rural beer. You know, and if your fan base is country music and Toby Keith, you don't bring in RuPaul to be your spokesperson. It just doesn't make sense. I think, as a general rule, you should stay out of politics in the business field if you can. You look at, like, the fight between DeSantis and Disney. You know, if Disney wins, they still lose. It still costs them millions and millions of dollars to fight a government that can fight them for free. And it just doesn't make sense to alienate, you know, half your customer base as a general rule.
Stan, thanks a lot for the call. A couple things there. First of all, you've done work on this, Nooshin, on the idea of, companies better be very careful when it comes to, as Stan says, their core customers.
Yes. So some of our research actually showed exactly this issue, that as long as you are aligned with your customer, you probably will have a lot less negative results back from your political actions. Now, sometimes the issue becomes, can we even stay from politics? So even if we realize that, okay, my core customer is not that much on my side or this issue's side, can I still stay quiet? Sometimes it's not even possible, as we saw in the case of voter bill in Georgia and Coca-Cola, because your customers will pressure so much that put you in a position that even your silent can become a statement. So there are times that it becomes very difficult. But there are also times that a firm realizes that maybe they have to move from a core customer base to a new one. So that is sometimes a very risky move to make. And in those cases, I actually believe that one of the issues is whether to do it completely and go all in or do it hesitantly, which in the case of Bud Light, I think their biggest issue is that they didn't actually go all in. They did this and then put their executives on leave, which doesn't make any, it doesn't help in either way. They already have core customers that are upset, and they couldn't or can't with this performance achieve new market, because younger people also can see that this is basically a marketing move. However, as I said, for core customers, moving towards a new customer base that are not very willing to go for big beer companies, it is something that firms should look into gradually if they want to not lose market in the long run.
Thanks again for the call, Stan. Stan also brought up a big story now at Disney. Now, Disney's had two backlashes when they provided benefits for same-sex partners in their corporate empire. And now with the thing going on in Florida over their protest of the so-called Don't Say Gay bill in that state. And one of the arguments from Disney is, hey, we're talking about some of our staff here. The people who work for us are affected by these decisions. That's why, in part, they say they advocated on that. How important is it to think not just about the customers, but the stakeholders who work within that company?
Well, that is very important. And one thing that is happening in the past, now, I'm going to say a recent decade, is that firms have started putting statements of DEI, diversity and inclusion, on their websites and trying to integrate that with their policies. Now, if they do that, if I'm putting a statement that says everyone, any diverse group is included in my company, and then do not provide equal benefits to different diverse groups, these groups can make this a very loud noise that we have seen on social media, and then that will attract a lot more anger. So firms either have to stay away from diversity and inclusion, which is very difficult to do now, or they have to try to follow through with what they put on their website. So in the case of employees, that is very important, very dangerous if firm tries to kind of play this game. But there are also sometimes, again, moves toward Disney right now has parents bringing the kids to Disney that might not still be ready for this generation change, but those kids are. And in terms of government, we've seen that before as well. Delta took promotions from NRA members, and they got a really big tax hit from the government of Georgia. But their CEO's point was, this is what our value is, and this is what we are going to do. We might lose some customers and we might lose some money, but we are going to gain it from the other side or the other group of customers. Again, to me, this is a move that only has to happen if you are going all in.
And then we'll leave it there. Nooshin, thanks again for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you.
That's Nooshin Warren, Associate Professor of Marketing at the University of Arizona, with us today to look at politics and how they affect consumer behavior in the wake of conservative boycotts of Bud Light beer. Now, Ellen Clark joins me on the last day of the spring member drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're also marking World Press Freedom Day. You and your community have access to trustworthy news and info on WPR thanks to support from members, people like you.
So make your gift right now for the essential public service you rely on at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
Great news. Just since we started, we've gotten five gifts. Looking for five more now by the end of the hour. Halfway there, that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. When you give, you help us hit that goal on this last day of the drive, and you'll fund Central Time and all the other WPR programs you count on. Give right now. WPR.org is the website, or call 888-202-2552.
And in that last segment, we learned about ways our politics influence what we choose to buy or not to buy, and our callers always add so much to the discussion. These are the kinds of conversations you can count on from Rob and the Central Time team.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all those conversations possible. Choose the amount that works for you, then make your gift.
An ongoing monthly gift is a reliable and convenient way to support WPR programs. In fact, more than 26,000 sustainers agree.
Join those sustainers. We think you'll like it. Set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or your credit card, and then it continues automatically every month as long as you want it to. It's easy to get it going with a gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount works for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're about halfway through the hour. We're looking for half of our goal, so it's really good. We're looking for five or more people to join in your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
And hey, grab the new WPR glass tumbler when you give $12 a month or more. Cool looking glass, Soundwave design, says Wisconsin Public Radio on it. It's a great way to give on this last day of the drive. Give $12 a month or more. Support your favorite conversations here on the radio. Pick up your own glass. Give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. A third bank went under this week. Is that cause for concern about wider problems in the banking world? Our next guest says our financial system is mostly sound and breaks down the unique nature of the banks that ran into trouble. First, Ellen Clark joins me on the last day of our spring member drive. It's also World Press Freedom Day, a time to celebrate the trustworthy news and essential information we have access to here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support is vital. It makes the public service you rely on from WPR possible. So give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And great news, about 25 minutes left this hour. We're looking for two more people to join in to reach our goal. Thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't, give now on this last day of the drive, online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's really simple. The gift you give funds the programs you enjoy.
How nice is that? You listen to the Ideas Network. You're smart that way. And you want to know what's going on, both in the news and in the culture around us. And you're right there. And we are right there with you right now here exploring the angles on Central Time.
On Central Time, we have a real Wisconsin focus, connecting you with guests from around the state and issues that affect your life. Like, hey, these banking headlines. Do we got to worry about that here in Wisconsin? For example. Not much, it seems like, but we'll find out more. Listener support makes all the stories you hear on Central Time possible. Join in with your gift right now. It makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And coming from you, Rob, I feel reassured, actually. So,
well, let's hear more from the guest.
Okay, we're going to go with an expert. Okay. Maybe you've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio without giving because you don't know we're listener supported. Guess what? We are, in fact, the largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners.
Maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. Well, you're still listening, so now's the perfect time to support the programming you've come to rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Silke Schmidt. I am originally from Germany, and we've lived in Madison since January 2012. For me, radio is really a way to get information. In general, I just really enjoy the variety. I feel like, especially if you're a newcomer to Wisconsin, listening to WPR is just a really good way to be introduced to the state.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
Make that donation online. You could also call, if that's more convenient. 888-202-2552 is the number. It's our spring member drive, last day of that drive. Rob Ferret here with Ellen Clark on Central Time. The WPR programs that you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a big difference for you and our entire community.
You support the WPR programs you love. Give the amount that's comfortable for you. Maybe it's $10 a month. Many people do $10 a month, and some give $100 or more.
That's right. So give now whatever amount works for you. Make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've already made an annual contribution or you make those ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so very much. You are the backbone of WPR.
If you haven't given yet this drive, it's the last day. Join tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we need two more people to join in to make this hourly goal. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps us meet that goal and ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
Again, it's the last day of the drive, and we have this new thank you gift that came out with this drive, the new WPR glass tumbler. When you give $12 a month or more, you can ask for that cool-looking glass, a daily reminder of how much you value WPR. Ask for yours right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we really have so many people to thank. Thank you to our sustainers and to our members who renew by mail. Thank you also to our business sponsors. We appreciate all of your support. It adds up to make the Ideas Network possible. And of course, we are listener-supported, so your gift makes the difference at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
If you are a sustaining member, thank you so much for that ongoing gift. You could make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. You can nudge it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Sladen Plover says, your excellent, informative programming ensures that I start my day out right. Thank you for all you do. Just remember, Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. Join Slade and Plover. Your gift is powerful. You really make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations all the time here on the Ideas Network. Well, know this, we count on you to help pay for it all. Make your gift right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. On Monday, regulators seized First Republic Bank, the third case of a failed American bank over the last couple months. Banking giant J.P. Morgan ended up with control of the bank's assets. Here's President Biden talking about the response.
I'm pleased to say that the regulators have taken action to facilitate the sale of First Republic Bank and ensure that all depositors are protected and the taxpayers are not on the hook. These actions are going to make sure that the banking system is safe and sound, and that includes protecting small businesses across the country who need to make payroll for workers and their small businesses. And so let me be very clear. While depositors are being protected, shareholders are losing their investments. And critically, taxpayers are not the ones that are on the hook, as I said earlier. Now, going forward, I've called on Congress to give regulators the tools to hold bank executives accountable, and I've called on regulators to strengthen regulations and supervision of large and regional banks.
Our next guest will help us understand what happened to the bank and what, if anything, it means for bank customers around the country. J. Michael Collins is professor of public affairs and human ecology, where he's the Fetzer Family Chair in Consumer and Personal Finance. He's also faculty director of the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security. Michael, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, these are some significant bank failures here, but for everyday consumers who use banks for savings and mortgages and, you know, banking stuff, how much impact are people likely to see?
You know, I think that at the end of the day, not much, which is partly we just heard in the quote from the president. You know, the regulatory system is kicked in. They've done what they need to do. Depositors are protected. And, you know, for most of us, we probably weren't at risk anyway, because we didn't have these high deposits that exceeded the amount that's covered by the FDIC. So for most of it, you know, it's really not a big effect.
Yeah, contrast this with 2008 a little bit, where it seemed like there was a problem with banking, period. Whereas this time, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like there's a problem with some banks.
Yeah, I mean, the quote, "this time is different," is always a, you know, a curse, I think, whenever we talk about financial issues. But, you know, in 2008, we had a decline in house prices pretty much every place in the country and even globally. And a lot of financial institutions had made these long-term loans on these properties that had lost value. And that fundamentally is why they were, you know, were in a position where they couldn't financially be stable. That is not the case today. We're not seeing a decline in house values or the loan collateral. It's pretty simple. They deposits simply couldn't meet the needs of depositors who wanted to take their money out, and they want to take their money out because they were looking for better interest rates somewhere else. So as interest rates rose, depositors took their money out, and that left these banks. There's three big ones you just mentioned. They just didn't have enough cash to make those needs, and so as a result, these runs on the bank resulted in their seizure by the FDIC.
Now, sometimes I think there's a psychological element here, Michael. A run on a bank doesn't happen unless a run on a bank happens, right? The perception that maybe there's a kind of bank, a category of bank that is susceptible to these kind of problems. Is there a worry that a confidence in other banks might put them at risk, even if they're not particularly risky at this point?
Yeah, I think that's certainly something we're seeing discussed in the media. You know, which bank is next? How is this going to, you know, percolate, or how is this going to spread to other places? I think it is important to know that these institutions were really quite different. Silicon Valley Bank had a lot of large corporate balances, a lot of Silicon Valley companies that had, you know, $50, $60, $100 million in their deposits for things like payroll, and they had a chance to get a better interest rate somewhere else, so they moved their money out, and once that happened, they were in trouble pretty quick. Most of us are in financial institutions, banks or credit unions, with, you know, hundreds of thousands of depositors with relatively small balances. So, you know, even if a few of us leave, it's not that big a deal. First Republic did have a lot of individuals, but they were high net worth individuals who had very large balances, and they were really sensitive to interest rates. So they went looking for the best interest rate. Meanwhile, First Republic made a lot of long-term mortgages and other loans at very low interest rates. So they had to pay out more for depositors than they could collect in interest. And so it became pretty quickly a problem. So those were two very unusual institutions, and I don't think we have a lot of others that follow that same model.
Now, we heard President Biden there mention looking at tougher regulation, maybe new laws passing Congress. Are there regulations you could see, or regulation enforcements you could see, that might have headed off the risk at these banks before it was too late for them?
You know, we'll obviously be trying to figure out what happened here for a while. It is true that the regulators were watching these institutions. They, you know, regulators are always looking over financial institutions every quarter of what their, you know, assets and liabilities look like. I think this happened really quickly. And so part of what, you know, part of the regulatory response maybe is that the regulators should have moved more quickly, that the speed of, you know, the runs actually was much faster than the regulators anticipated. So there might be some space there. There's discussions of changing how the insurance, the deposit insurance works. I don't know if we'll get much traction on that or not, but certainly it is something that needs to be relooked at. And perhaps we need to think about different forms of insurance for different kinds of depositors.
Talking to J. Michael Collins with UW-Madison's Center for Financial Security, also professor at UW, looking at a decent-sized bank getting shut down, bought up ultimately by another even bigger bank, and what it means, if anything, for you. You have thoughts, Michael, on, you know, how people make the decision of, hey, where should I do my banking? What kind of things, you know, with this news in the background, what's on your mind?
You know, it is important to realize that we've been, you know, many of us have had a decade or more, a longer, of really low interest rates. And so we weren't really accustomed to getting much return on our savings accounts. We kind of took it for granted that it was going to be close to zero. And now there's, you know, growing demand for your deposits. And, you know, we're seeing whether it's internet banks or other kinds of institutions that are trying to get you to move your money over to chase the highest interest rate. And, you know, certainly there's some reason to do that. It's, you know, you might earn a little bit more interest, but it's also, you know, it's something you have to make good choices about. You have to do some investigation about where you're moving money to. Is that really going to provide you the kinds of return that you want? Will you be able to get the money if you need it? And ultimately, where do you want to bank? Do you want your money to be at some, you know, out-of-state institution, or do you want to keep your money local where it can go to make local loans and serve the credit needs of a local community?
We've mentioned interest rates a couple times. Want to check in on that now. It was part of the problem for the three banks we're talking about. We saw the Federal Reserve nudge those rates up again today. And they're saying, well, okay, now we're going to look at maybe we're going to stop bringing them up and watch at the impact they have on inflation, the banking industry, and more. What are your thoughts on this very much predicted decision by the Fed today?
Yeah, I think the Fed has really been trying to get inflation under control. They've been trying to, you know, slow down the economy and slow down the rise in prices. And so the impact of that on financial institutions has not been a predominant factor in all that. This has really been a historic change. Like, we've gone from, you know, basically 0 to 60 in some of the fastest time of interest rates that we've seen in a long time. And so that could have some knockoff effects, not just on financial institutions, but generally investments. It does look like they're going to start moderating. They're sort of signaling they're going to start moderating. But the question now is how quickly do those interest rates go back to sort of quote unquote normal levels, whatever that might look like. And it's probably never going to get to the point where it was during, you know, we had a point in time where interest rates were effectively zero. I think that was not something that we should think we're going to go back to anytime soon.
Let's bring on a caller. Chris is with us in Fairchild. Chris, hello.
Hi. So two questions here, and I'll get off and let the guest answer. First one is, how does this shape the valuation of the U.S. dollar abroad? And your thoughts, perhaps, on how this affects foreign investment into the United States.
Chris, thanks for the call. Now, Michael, the dollar's been really high, very strong lately. I don't know, is the world watching concerns about banks here, and that could end up bringing the value of the dollar down some?
Yeah, I mean, the dollar has been quite high, and I think was probably due for some reset at some point in time. But it's all connected. I mean, the rise in interest rates that we're seeing in the U.S. is happening in other places as well. And so, you know, that's one of those knockoff effects I was just talking about. It's not just banks. It really is across different kinds of investments, bonds, equities, whatever else. And so in some ways, what the dollar is doing is responding in the same kind of way. I don't think what we're really seeing is driven by the failure of these three banks per se. I think it's generally a reset and sort of the valuation of the dollar, which, you know, I think some analysts would say was maybe a little higher than it should have been anyway.
Right. I'm looking at the chart. It has gone down a little bit since all this happened, but yeah, still pretty high, it looks like, out of my eyeballing of this chart. Chris, thanks a lot for that call. Michael, I want to touch on an issue that I know is close to your heart. Banking for the underbanked, people lower income often who have trouble accessing financial services, or at least financial services they can afford. What are you watching for in that these days?
Yeah, I think we've seen an increase in the rate of people who have bank accounts nationally over the last decade. And some of that is due to some technological innovations, things like so quote unquote fintech, where you can now have a bank account on your phone effectively or on a card. And that makes low-cost banking a little bit more accessible to more people. You know, we also have to be aware of the fact that when we put our deposits into a bank or credit union, those deposits are used to make loans. And so, you know, there is this potential that, you know, local financial institutions lose some of those deposits that then they can go to make the, you know, small business loans or the home mortgage loans that we might want in our community. So on the one hand, we're serving more and more people. We might be taking away some of the sources of capital that are needed in communities. So it's a sort of a double-edged sword. We'd like to see more financial access, but we'd also like to make sure that we have credit access for those who need it as well.
Michael, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's J. Michael Collins, professor of public affairs and human ecology at UW-Madison. We talked to him today about the third collapse of a decent-sized bank and its seizure by regulators earlier this week. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Ellen Clark is with me, and today is the last day of the drive. It's also World Press Freedom Day. It's the opportunity to support community-wide access to information and ideas.
That's right. And a vibrant local media service like Wisconsin Public Radio is fundamental to keeping our communities informed and inspired. Support the high-quality reporting and enriching entertainment you rely on with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we really would like to hear from you exactly right now because it's the last day of our drive and we just need two more gifts to hit our goal for this hour. It would be fantastic. You could be the one who puts us over the top. When you give, you support the programs you rely on every day. Let's end this drive with a big finish.
We sure do want to end it with a big finish. And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, two of you, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we took a deep look at something you may have seen in the headlines, the collapse of these few banks. A Wisconsin expert came on with us to put it in context, in perspective. The news there, it sounds like he says, don't panic. It's an example of a conversation where we take a big flashy headline and we say, hey, okay, what does this actually mean? What does it mean for you? These are the kind of conversations you can count on here on Central Time.
And I do have to say, Rob, that your questions always help me make sense of it all. When it's this big thing and I'm trying to figure it out, your questions help me with that. So WPR is listener supported, and that means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
This member drive, ask for your new WPR glass tumbler. Whether it's for your morning orange juice or an evening cocktail, this elegant glass is going to be your new favorite. So make room in your cupboard and ask for your WPR glass tumbler when you give $12 a month or more today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the last day of the Spring Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Ellen Clark on Central Time. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you count on, and that is why your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has a really important impact.
And the world is constantly changing. Now, there's a huge understatement, right? It's really hard to keep up, but as a listener, you rely on WPR for the daily news and information.
WPR members make this access possible. Today, invest in the programs you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month keeps the news and conversations relevant and on the air for everybody to enjoy. Your gift makes a difference. Make it right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
That's right, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for a cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like the other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And member drives are really an important time for us to hear from new members. If you haven't given before, make today the day you become a member. Give today. Your gift of any amount truly makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The new WPR glass tumbler is a great way to enjoy your favorite beverage and share the fact that WPR is your source for news and inspiration. Ask for yours when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's really easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552.
Daniela in Ashland says, I want to sustain great radio as others once did for me. That's a great way to think about it. Thank you, Daniela. Make a gift, not just for yourself, but for future listeners, the next generation of listeners. You're helping build a great future for them with your gift right now. Love to hear from you on this last day of the drive. So close to our goal this hour, you can put us over the top. Keep giving through the news at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Yeah, two people. We're looking for two more people to join in. Help us out. Give your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Ensure a bright future for the programs you rely on.
You get how it works, I think. We put on these conversations for you. You've come to rely on them, to count on them as an important part of your day, your routine. And over the years, over the decades, we've been able to count on you and people like you to help pay for it, to be the biggest source of funding for these programs you count on. You can join in that tradition. Get on the Central Time team right now with your gift. It takes just a few minutes online at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.